Hi, and welcome to Moving Through Motherhood, a podcast for mums who want to move more mindfully through all stages of motherhood, including pregnancy, postnatal, and beyond. I'm Jen Mazur, founder of Mum's Yoga Club, and I'm here to support you in motherhood through conversations about movement, mindset, motivation, and so much more. So let's get started with today's episode. I'm so excited today to be joined by Amanda Bowman from Fertility Rising. Amanda is a mum, a fertility coach, womb yoga teacher, and the founder of Fertility Rising. She's passionate about empowering women to feel calm and confident on their journey to conceiving. Through a gentle blend of scientific fertility awareness education and embodied holistic wisdom, Amanda provides a nurturing space where you can let go of the stress and uncertainty of your fertility, tune into your body's natural rhythm, and restore your trust in your cycle. Amanda provides support to women wanting to conceive through her intimate group program, the Fertility Flow Collective, and limited one-to-one holistic sessions. So I'm so excited to be joined by Amanda on today's podcast. So let's dive into the episode. Start your 7-day free trial on Mum's Yoga Club, the online membership today. With unlimited yoga and meditation for pregnancy, postnatal, and beyond, as a listener to the podcast, you get an exclusive 20% off a monthly or annual membership when you use the code POD20. That's POD20. That's less than £4 a week for unlimited yoga. So come and join our community of mums moving through motherhood together. Join Mum's Yoga Club, the online membership, today using the link in the show notes. See you on the mat. Hi everyone, welcome to the podcast. I'm so excited to be joined today by the gorgeous Amanda Bowman of Fertility Rising. Hi Amanda.
Hi Jen, thank you so much for having me. I'm really, really, really excited to be here.
Oh, it's going to be such a valuable chat for this community, so thank you. Before we do get started though with today's chat, just let our listeners know a bit about yourself, what you do, what you offer, who you serve, all that stuff.
Yeah, wonderful. So I'm a, first and foremost, probably most relevant is I'm a mum as well. So I'm mum to a 3-year-old girl. And I'm also a fertility coach and a womb yoga teacher. And so my main purpose is to support women to master their menstrual cycles so that they can have a calmer and less stressful journey to pregnancy. And I do this through a mixture of fertility awareness education. So I'm a certified fertility awareness educator. And a women's hormonal health practitioner as well. And so I sort of work with women who are trying to conceive, usually women in their 30s. And I'm really enjoying at the moment actually working a lot with women who are trying to conceive for a second time or even a third time. Often they might have had quite a challenging time first time round. And they are sort of in a place where they want to approach it with just more calm, more connection, and just feel more empowered about their journey, especially having mothered their child and seen just how amazing and how strong they are and how incredible their bodies are. So that's a little bit about me and what I do.
I love that. So much knowledge and insight. So let's chat about that actually, as I really want to talk about that today, trying to conceive second time round, which is a really interesting topic because I find it a lot with the women in my community, especially. I find there are the people who got pregnant really quickly or easily first time round, and then they come to trying again second time round, and then they find it's not the same process. Maybe it doesn't happen as fast, or they're just not sure about what's going on. Talk to me about that. Why do we tend to see that happen first time compared to second time?
It's, as you say, it's definitely something that I see a lot in my work as well, and it varies so much from woman to woman, you know, as it did first time round. But as you say, for women who had it a smooth journey first time round, perhaps second time round it can be a bit more challenging, and there are quite a few factors that can come into that, one of which is that pregnancy and all the hormones that we have in pregnancy and then afterwards when we're breastfeeding can be kind of like a hormonal reset for the body. So any sort of women might find that their cycles are actually quite different after they've had their child, and perhaps problems have resolved, perhaps the things, new things have popped up that they didn't have before. So that can make it quite challenging. And the other thing that makes it quite hard as well is just motherhood itself. So, you know, motherhood just throws all sorts of things off kilter, and like a lot of the things that are quite fundamental for fertility and a lot of the things that I support women with, in addition to understanding their menstrual cycles, these are the things that we kind of sort of fall off the list, right? So things like nutrition is really key to fertility. But you know, for me, a long time, my breakfast was the crusts that I was cutting off of my daughter's toast. You know, it's not highly nutritious, but that's all I kind of felt I had time for. Things like self-care, you must see that a lot in your community, sort of mums really struggling to find time to prioritize their well-being and their stress management, particularly once they've gone back to work. Like once they're juggling all of that, that can really slip down the list. And then things like sleep, unless you have one of those magical unicorn babies that sleeps through the night, I certainly didn't. Exactly. It just makes it really hard because sleep is really crucial for hormonal health. And if you're sort of not getting that sleep and you're not able to rest during the day as well, then that can also make things a bit more difficult. But there are options. Like it's not a case of sort of it's all doom and gloom. It doesn't have to be sort of a struggle. So one thing I'm quite passionate about reminding women is that although we can't control everything, there are things within our control, and we can put our efforts there to support our fertility and support our overall health. So things like getting to know your body better, and that's through like actually understanding your cycle, not relying on an app. So a lot of women will turn to an app that charts their cycle for them. But if you are, you know, if you have all those other things that are off kilter that I mentioned, which are really normal when you're a new mum, the algorithm is not going to take into account that that is happening, and it's going to tell you you're ovulating when you're not actually ovulating. So really getting to know your cycle is a really key part of that trying to conceive journey the second time around, and can be really empowering as well. And also leaning into support. So I think we have a culture and of, you know, when you're trying to conceive, it's quite a lonely journey for a lot of women. You don't tend to tell your friends. It's probably only you and your partner that are involved. But I think knowing that support is out there and that you can lean into it, like you've seen how helpful it can be in motherhood. So leaning into that support on your trying to conceive journey can make a big difference as well.
That's so interesting, isn't it? Because I guess all the things you just listed there, it sounds kind of obvious things, aren't they? Just those basic necessities of taking care of yourself, which, as you say, when we become mums, those basic things actually become really hard to do, don't they? So it is finding those ways to just, yeah, really look after yourself. Because if you're not going to look after yourself, then we can't expect our bodies to be functioning at its best.
Exactly. And like pregnancy is a marathon, right? It's one of the like biggest events that your body can do, like, and you're doing it for 9 months, your body's like firing on all cylinders. And those things that you said, exactly, it's not rocket science. It's the fundamentals. It's quite basic. And in my work with women through either my group program or my one-to-ones, I spend a lot of time supporting them to implement that in a way that is manageable. And I think it's similar to your work. You know, you don't tell women that they have to do a 90-minute yoga class for it to count. It's all about doing what you can with the time that you have.
Exactly. And it's finding that new way now, isn't it, of making it work? Because what worked before, when you're trying to get pregnant first time, you know, you can put everything into it. I see it so often with people who come to my pregnancy classes and they're pregnant for the first time compared to the second time, because you have, when you're pregnant for the first time, that's your whole world. And looking after you is all you have. Whereas second time round, you've got this other child to look after. You can't kind of take it in as much. I always laugh because I think I got like a bum picture every Monday, every week when I had my first. And second time round, I think I remembered to take about four pictures the whole pregnancy. You just have so many other distractions, don't you? It's just motherhood. Motherhood is a lot, and we have to respect that it does take its toll in some ways. And if we don't find those ways in some ways, as you say, to nurture ourselves.
Exactly. And I think a big part of it is not like not putting all of it on ourselves and not guilting ourselves for not doing it, because it's harder. And that's why we need the support, and that's why we should lean into support that's there. And also, like, give yourself a break because you're already doing so much. And it is going to be different because, you know, I look back at my life before I had my daughter and I'm like, wow, I thought I had responsibility, but I really didn't.
Not in the same way at all. And then let's chat a bit, as we say. Obviously, we've spoken about people who conceive relatively easy first time round and then found it challenging second time round. But how about the approach if first time you found it quite difficult to conceive? And I'm assuming that puts quite a lot of stress on them in so many ways, on your relationship and your life, your job. And now they're feeling a little bit apprehensive, a bit worried about trying to have a second child because they're aware of all those things that they experienced first time. And now they've got that added pressure, that responsibility of another child. What would you say to those mums if they're coming to that journey, or maybe they're going through that journey now?
Yeah, that's a really good point. And what I would say is that, as I said, like, pregnancy and giving birth can be a complete reset for your body. So because it was a struggle the first time around doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be a struggle the second time around. That's the first thing. The second thing is, you know what it felt like to go through that journey first time round. And so you have the gift of hindsight to really think before you jump into it, or if you're in it now, okay, what can I do to support myself? What support can I get to make this feel more calm, less overwhelming, and give me that sense of control? And so this is something that I really work on a lot with the mums, the women that I work with who are trying to conceive, is giving them that sense of agency. So it is really about, you know, a lot of the women first time around, perhaps it became really difficult because they were using, you know, they had like three different apps that told them they were ovulating on three different dates. They had, you know, those sticks that you pee on that cost a fortune and you're literally just peeing your money away. And a lot of them are like, I don't want to do that again. Like, it's just not for me. And I say that you don't have to. There are other ways that you can do that are less stressful. So like with the women I work with, I don't use those sticks because I think they just are stress inducing in themselves. And for a lot of women, it's almost a bit like PTSD when you think about it again.
Yeah.
You know, it's simple things like, you know, tracking your cervical mucus. That's like a really easy way to understand your cycle and support that. And the final thing I'd say as well is pick one area, because if you're already juggling motherhood, just pick one area that you know that you want to focus on. So maybe it's managing stress. Maybe it's eating a bit better. Maybe it's, you know, working on your sleep. Instead of trying to do all the things, pick the one thing that you're going to be able to shift the needle on, because being able to be consistent and doing little and often is much better than trying to do all the things and then feeling guilty when you don't. So a lot of the work I do is around helping women identify what that thing is, in addition to understanding their cycles, which are often, you know, a bit different from before they had their baby, and supporting them on that path to, so that they feel more in control and less overwhelmed, because that is possible.
I love that. It's so true. And that's something I teach as well. It's that little and often approach, because we no longer have that luxury, do we, of, well, maybe some people do, but a lot of the mums in this community, they don't have an hour and a half to do a yoga flow followed by a 20-minute meditation. It's like you need to find those little pockets in the day where you can go, okay, even just every hour, 5 minutes, I'm going to do something for me, whether it's breath work or I'm going to drink a whole glass of water. Finding those little moments throughout the day where you can just focus on yourself, because motherhood's so much about everyone else, especially if you're a working mum and there's just so much to juggle, that unfortunately often our general basic self-care needs just fall so low down, don't they?
Exactly. And I think once you start to do those small bits, it's like a snowball effect, because you start to feel the benefits and then it starts to become a non-negotiable. And, you know, when you were taking 5 minutes, you then managed to find 10 minutes. And then, you know, in time, it becomes more of a priority. You manage to find more space for it. But it's that little and often, and being content with that is what's really important.
Absolutely, completely agree. Let's move on a little bit more then to cycles. We've kind of spoke about this, but cycles return and after you have a baby. So what is, I'm not sure it's the right word, but normal. What's normal in this process? And I guess normal's different for everyone, isn't it? So what are we looking for when we're looking for our cycles returning after having a baby? What are kind of the signs that something's not right, or what should we be okay with? Because it's not going to come back instantly, is it? Or, I mean, you can tell me that.
Yeah, so it really depends on whether you're breastfeeding or you're not breastfeeding. So if you're not breastfeeding, fertility can, like, you can ovulate as, like, the earliest ovulation that's on record is 27 days after giving birth. So fertility can return really quickly if you're not breastfeeding. If you are breastfeeding, then it takes a bit longer. And that's mainly because of the hormone prolactin. So it's the hormone that's well known in terms of stimulating milk production. That hormone also suppresses ovulation and therefore our period. So that's why you'll go long stretches without getting your period, because your cycle is not cycling. And it's not bad. And also, what then is important to note as well is that we produce more prolactin at night. So if you're doing the night feeds, then your fertility is going to come back later than if you're not. So if you start to wean off those night feeds, then your fertility is likely to start to come back. And in terms of when you're breastfeeding, about 60% of breastfeeding mothers will ovulate before their first period. So if you're not intending to conceive, this is how often, people can be like, I just went from one pregnancy straight into the other. It's because you can actually ovulate before you see your period. And that happens in 60%. But what is quite normal when your cycles do return is that there will be some level of irregularity. So your first cycles might be long, your period might be heavier than it was before, it might be lighter than it was before. Essentially, if you think of it a bit like a classic car that's been in the garage, and you're trying to get it going again, you're not going to go from like 0 to 60 straight away. You're going to sort of rev it up and warm it up slowly, which is kind of what the body's doing. So that brain connection to our ovaries that's been suppressed by the prolactin, it's starting to get into gear. So, your cycle is going to be a bit topsy-turvy for a little while. But on average, it takes about 3 full cycles for normal, in inverted commas, ovulatory function to be restored. So that's like regular ovulation. I think the other thing to note as well is that there are parts of our cycles, in addition to it being irregular, there are parts of our cycles that might be a bit shorter. And other bits that might be a bit longer. Essentially, your body's trying to find its natural rhythm again, and it will take a few cycles for it to get back to normal.
Yeah, so interesting. Yeah, I don't think that's spoken about enough, actually, is it? Because as you say, like your body goes through a whole reset after pregnancy. So what was maybe normal for a cycle before is maybe not so normal for you after pregnancy.
Yeah, exactly. And in terms of when it will return as well, if you are breastfeeding, that also varies from woman to woman. So, for example, I was exclusively breastfeeding my daughter, but my period came back after 5 months. But then you'll have other women who won't get it back for another 18 months. So it really does depend.
Yeah, absolutely. I've heard the same actually. I didn't think I'd get my period, and because I'm exclusively breastfeeding, but my baby's only 4 months old and I've got my period. So, how do we know? How do we know that we're ovulating again? Are there any signs we can look out for as breastfeeding mums that we are ovulating and we are going to have that cycle back?
Yeah, so what you're looking out for is cervical mucus. So cervical mucus is also known as discharge, but I hate that word because it makes it sound like there's something wrong with you when it's actually your body doing something that's actually amazing. So what you'll notice is, like, while you're breastfeeding, you probably won't notice much in your knickers. There's nothing really going on down there, probably of dryness. You won't really feel much. When you start to notice cervical mucus coming back and it starts to feel sort of creamier or slipperier or wetter or stretchy, that's a sign that your fertility is returning and ovulation is approaching.
Oh, okay, brilliant. Thank you so much. Let's talk a little bit about. I've seen you post about this recently, and I absolutely love it because it's so true. And it's something I've become a lot more aware of. And it's working with our cycles as busy mums or even just as busy women. But it's just finding kind of a rhythm throughout the month. I've definitely become more in tune with that since I've had kids, especially. I don't know if you found that. I definitely became a lot more aware of myself and my body once I had kids. I think it's amazing like that. It really makes you take note of what's happening in your body. But I've been noticing myself, like certain times of the month, I'm really motivated, really creative. And other times, I just haven't got that energy. I just want to take it easy. Yeah, let's just chat a bit about that. Just showing up with that different energy throughout the month as busy mums.
Yeah, I think that's such an important one, and something I'm really passionate about because I like fundamentally believe that our menstrual cycles are like our superpower because they give us different levels of energy and we show up as different people each week, each day. And we don't have the same energy every day. And knowing that and being able to notice that is really powerful because it increases the amount of compassion that we can direct towards ourselves. So, on the days when, you just don't have as much patience with your child as you normally do, you can then know, okay, well, I'm like day 26. I know my period's going to come soon. This is often a time in my cycle that's really difficult for me because I'm really impatient. I'm not going to guilt myself and say I'm a bad mum. I'm going to reach out and ask for more support. So if you have a partner, asking your partner to do a bit more so that you can rest a bit more on, around those days. So it's being having this knowledge is really empowering. And as you say, feeling more tuned into your body after having your baby is something that I see quite a lot with the women that I work with, particularly mums who are trying to conceive a second time around and wanting to do it from a more empowered place. They often talk about how, you know, growing and then birthing and then like raising this like little person has sort of shown them that like magic of their bodies, and they feel much more connected to it. And so just to give you like an outline of the cycle for those that don't know, so you can sort of break it up into four seasons, and they're kind of likened to the seasons in nature. So we have the winter, which is from your period, like around the time of your period. It can start maybe a couple of days before, and then through the menstruation. And this is likened to winter because it's a time where your energy is quite low. You kind of want to hibernate. You know, you perhaps might feel a bit more sensitive. You want to be a bit more, your attention is turned more inward. As a mum, this is quite a difficult season to mother in. And what can be really helpful is if you know that this is how you know, this is how you experience this time of your cycle, you can then perhaps plan different activities or different things that you're doing with your child. For example, if I was to like take my daughter, you know, when I lived in London, to like something in central London, I would not plan it in my winter because I knew I would just have a horrible time. I would just be not be very like patient with her. Like it would just be a horrible experience for everyone involved. So I would just, you know, with that in mind, I can try and sort of time things that just make things a bit more easier for me, but also more enjoyable for everyone. Then you have the spring of your cycle. So this is from the end of your period up until just before ovulation. And this is a time where it's almost like your inward focus, you start to sort of look out again. So you're starting to feel a bit more outward, a bit more playful, perhaps your energy is rising. And this is a time where I personally feel like I'm like really hitting my stride when it comes to mothering. I really want to play more, you know, I'm like much more creative, inventive games. My daughter's really into like make-believe at the moment. So I'm like well into it in this time of my
I've got this
cycle.
today.
Exactly. And so doing those sorts of things feels easier in that time. Then you have your summer, which is around the time of ovulation. This is like, you know, that main character energy. You might feel more outward, more sociable. This might be the time where you like feel like I'm actually smashing this mom thing. You know, the days when you get that's often around that time in your cycle when you're feeling like on a high, your hormones are on your side, you've got more energy. You're also just more, you've got more give. So if you're my daughter's three, she's a toddler. When she's being typical, you know, toddler behavior, I'm just able to absorb it a bit more and just be a bit calmer as well around this time of my cycle. Then we get into the autumn, and this is the time between after ovulation and before the next bleed. And this is often sort of synonymous with PMS. So this is the time where, you know, perhaps your focus starts to turn a bit more inward. You become a bit more impatient. I personally become a bit more impatient in this time of my cycle when it comes to mothering. It's a time where perhaps I don't mince my words as much. I can be quite direct. It's a time, but it's also like a time where I have a lot of clarity. So I feel like I'm able to do a lot more of the administrative things that come with mum life. You know, if my daughter needs new shoes, getting that sorted and things like that, I find that much easier in that part of my cycle. And the reason I love this is because this model is because it reminds us that we are beings that are part of nature. You know, we live in a world that doesn't support us not showing up with the same level of energy every day. And it often makes us feel like there's something wrong with us. There's something broken in us. You know, we're not enjoying every moment as Instagram tells mums to do. And it's, you know, it's fine if there are moments that are more difficult or that feel more difficult because you're in a different part of your cycle. And I think this knowledge is helpful because it means that you can, where possible, plan your diary in a way that means that, you know, you can just be a bit more supportive and just a bit more aware of where you're going to be in your cycle and therefore what your energy levels are going to be, how your patience is going to be, and things like that. And it just means that then it's things are more fun for everyone and you also feel less guilt about it. And the other thing that has really helped me do as well is ask for help. And I know a lot of mums can find it quite difficult to do that, myself included. But being able to say to my partner, I'm in my winter. I need you to really lean in over the next few days because I'm really struggling with energy. I know I'm going to be really low on energy, but it's going to pick up after that. I think that's really, really key in making sure that we just don't burn out as mums.
I love that analogy of the seasons. It's so much nicer seeing it that way. And I guess it's communicating that to your partner, isn't it? Like, oh, this is where I am. This is what I need right now in this stage of my cycle. And it's not because I'm struggling or because I'm not coping. It's just because this is the time I'm in right now. And this is normal. This is how we should be in that time. And it's not because you're not enough or because you're finding it too hard. It's because that's the time of the cycle that we're in. I'm going to use that definitely going forward, that analogy of the seasons. And again, as you say, it's not feeling guilty, as you say, if you are feeling shorter with your kids that week, because there's a reason why. There's a natural reason why we're feeling that way that week, why we have more patience one week compared to the next week. And that's such a good insight. So thank you so much for sharing that today.
My pleasure. Yeah, I think the other thing that's really useful as well is it's a way of us modeling to our little ones, like what it is like to be the full spectrum of a human, of being a human being, and also modeling to them what it means, like what self-care actually means, and the importance of looking after oneself. Because I think, the best way of teaching our children is by showing them, right? We are their role models. And so I have a little guide that can help you tune into those seasons of your cycle that I can share with you to share with your community if you like, because that's quite a nice way to start if you want to start tuning into your cycle. If this sounds interesting but you don't know where to start, you can start there.
Yes, I would love that. I'll link that in the show notes so everyone can access that. Yeah, thank you. Obviously, we'll share that with you. Before we wrap up, is there anything else? Where can our listeners find you? Where can they find out more about you if they want to work with you now after listening to this episode? How can they go about that?
So you can find me on Instagram. So my Instagram is fertility_rising. I share a lot of sort of information there and tips and that kind of stuff. If they want to work with me, they can sort of slide into my DMs there, or they can contact me via my website at fertilityrising.com. I've actually got a group program coming up in January, and it's quite a small group. There's only 5 spots. But this is for any woman sort of in their 30s who wants to master their menstrual cycle and empower their natural conception journey. And we'll be doing all the things that we sort of talked about. So getting clear on your fertility, using, learning how to do it yourself rather than relying on unreliable apps, as I've mentioned, connecting to your body and soothing your nervous system through sort of mind-body techniques. And we'll look at ways to boost your natural fertility as well. So we'll be doing that in the group starting in January. I'm really excited.
Sounds amazing. Before we go, we always do some quick fire questions. So let's get going with them. First one is, what do you wish you could tell every mum on the planet?
You are allowed to rest, and you should take that rest, even if it's a couple of minutes. One of the practices that I love is doing yoga nidra. When I was really in the trenches of that sleep deprivation, everyone would tell me, sleep when the baby sleeps. But I'm the kind of person who was always on the go before I had a baby. So I'm just not that kind of person. However, lying down and doing a yoga nidra was like an absolute savior for me. So, and learning to rest, I think it's something that we need to learn, a lot of us need to learn to do. And I place a big emphasis on that with the women that I work with. So all mothers should rest more and they shouldn't feel guilty about it.
I second that, absolutely. What's one small thing you do every day that makes a big difference in your life?
One thing that I've actually started doing that I really enjoy is, and it's probably because my daughter's got to this age where she started school, and I started asking how her school day was, but she or like what she did, and she'd be like, I don't know. So instead, I've been asking her, what made you laugh today? What made you feel happy today? What made you feel sad today? What made you feel cross today? What made you feel excited today? And things like that. And we'll do that in the car on the way home. And I really love that because it kind of, with all the what other things that might be on my mind, it kind of sort of brings me back and helps me share in that sort of whatever she's doing and makes me, I don't know, it's just a really nice way of connecting with my daughter, I found. Yeah.
That's so lovely. Lastly, what is your favorite way to recharge when motherhood or life feels overwhelming?
My favorite way to recharge is definitely rolling out my mat and just doing a little bit of movement and a bit of breath work, even if it's just 5 minutes. I feel so much better for it.
Absolutely. Oh, well, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today. It's been such a valuable, brilliant chat. So thank you so much, Amanda.
Thank you so much, Jen.
Thank you, and see you all again next week.